Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Diva of Days for Lives and Friends. Tonight, the Divas by Work at Fed Network and I will discuss the last 2 weeks of the show. Please feel free to call in at 914-338-1239. You can also join us in our chat room. You can follow us daily at our blog at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. We are also on Facebook. You can find us at Diva Days. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yep, we got the usual suspects again, Queen of the Night and Saddle Shoes and Fancy Face. So it was Fancy Face's idea for us to do our decade in review. So who wants to start with what you thought were the best storylines of the past decade on Days?
Okay, so you want me to start with just number five or just list them all or what?
Whatever makes you happy.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
We can all do, like, number five, and then, you know.
And then go all do number four. Okay.
Well, that means we all came up with five.
Let's see what all our number fives are, yeah.
Okay, well, my number five has to be when in 2002, I think, Tony walked into the penthouse grill and shocked everyone who had thought, or it was actually Andre at the time, but shocked everyone who thought that he was dead and came up with the, later on that resulted in Stefano's will being read. And I should say it's like my favorite beginning of a storyline that never quite made it anywhere because it started out great and it was great to see Teo back and all, but then the Stefano's will thing looked like it was going to turn to something really exciting with, you know, everyone getting this interesting, weird token from Stefano, but then it never really led anywhere. It kind of got dropped halfway, but it started out really good. So that's my number five.
Did they change writers again?
They probably did.
Yeah. It was like a merry-go-round back then, wasn't it, as far as writers went?
Yeah.
But it was quite quickly and Brash and Higley and then Riley or something like that within a couple of years.
Yeah,
well,
they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Quickly and Brash, they were on for almost a year, but right in the middle of what was going to be their feud storyline, they got fired. That's why it got dropped. So, which was really sad. I would have loved to see what they came up with.
Okay, Queen of the Night, what was your number five for best story of the decade?
Okay, number five. Okay, since the Salem Killer storyline was probably a good 3 years or more of the decade, I put number five as the when they were all revealed to be alive.
Oh.
That part of the storyline. I mean,
if I remember correctly,
it started in late 2003 and actually went the whole way, through 2005 to 2006, something like that?
Yeah, it ended in the fall of 2005.
Actually,
yeah, when Andre got caught and went to prison.
I'm saying when, the reveal of them all being alive, that's my number five.
Yeah, it started out great until it went to force fields and all that crazy nonsense.
Yeah,
right,
the island.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I didn't like all of it. I liked parts of it.
Yeah,
I was glad they all came back.
Like it was a promise. It promised to be something really interesting and turned out to be a dud.
Yeah, right. If they would have done more of a Lost thing, but more interesting, you know, not as cheesy. It was like a cheesy Lost. But I think that was pre-Lost.
No,
but
I thought the best part of it was actually hearing that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In about the first maybe 3 or 4 days after Wimbledon, it just went to hell. It was terrible.
What do you think?
Seeing them all the first time, that was fun, but that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a number five. I couldn't even come up with three storylines. I came up with one storyline. The other two they're not really storylines. They're moments, like Andre walking into the penthouse grill.
Yeah.
That was more of a moment.
Yeah.
It never turned out to be
number
a storyline.
So.
storylines, even if they started well, they ended badly. I mean, it was hard to name five storylines that were good from beginning to the end.
Yeah, there are.
Right.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot of good potential ones.
I could come up with one that I really liked that I thought was good from beginning to end. So.
Yeah, my number five was actually, and it was kind of, I guess you'd say, kind of a moment, and it was John's death and funeral. I guess that was
The funeral was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
But I'm not counting. That doesn't include him coming back. That was also the whole Ryan Mirror thing, and I'm not going there. I'm just talking about
the funeral were really touching. They did a really amazing job.
You know, like they said in Legends of the Fall, at the end when Brad Pitt's character died, they said he had a good death. Yeah, he got killed by a bear. Did you see it? He got killed by a bear or something. It was that wild animal he got killed by. And anyway, the Indian guy said he died a good death. So I think with John, he had a good death. He had a good funeral.
At least he did.
Okay. Fancy Days, what was your number four?
Number four. Oh, okay. Number four was this is way back at the beginning of the decade, around 2001 or something, when Stefano was leaving, and he set all the bombs all over Salem, blowing up all the different. I know it was before 9/11 because now that I think of it. So it was like maybe 2000, and he set up all the bombs all over Salem, blowing up everything. And Jack and Jennifer were at the bridge, and the bridge collapsed, and her car was hanging on the edge. And then she had JT in the car, and his crib seat fell out of the car, and crashed in the ocean. And they all thought JT was dead, and Hope was blaming Jennifer, and Jennifer was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And then, of course, that led to eventually when JT was found, it led to that was the other baby switch storyline when they found out JT went back to his biological parents, and Bo and Hope were all torn up over that. And I know we went through, hell with Zach dying, but that was really, for me, that was a very emotional episode and very well done. So that whole section of time, I thought, was a really well done storyline.
Okay, how about Queen of the Night? What was your number four?
Okay, my number four is the most recent one, but took a while. But the whole baby switch storyline, which would include Grace death and the whole, I just thought it was a lot of good acting with EJ and Sammy and Ari, and then leading into the Sidnapper storyline, which carries into 2010, which we don't know exactly what's going to happen there. But yet that was the start of that with Leanne Hunley's return. So that was my number four.
Yeah, we just got the spoiler this week that Anna's the mastermind it is EJ.
EJ.
That's a good one.
Seems strange to me. Yeah, but I can see why he's doing it. Yeah,
he's getting revenge on everyone, and I kind of don't blame him for that, really.
Did that come off a twist to anybody, though?
I'm sorry.
Did EJ being behind this, does this come off as a surprise to anybody?
Well, the way it was being shown, it did.
I think if you're...
EJ's a good actor because in private, I mean, you wouldn't think the way it was being acted out that he was involved.
But when somebody was going to be behind it, the first person you're going to think of is Demira.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what they write. Has there been anything that's happened in the last decade?
I was hoping it would be Kate even.
That it's not their fault. I think the perfect one would have been if Lexi was the person who walked through that door.
Ooh, that would have been great.
Yeah.
You know, or Kate, and they're never going to make it Lexi or Kate because it's got to be a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're writing the story so
Kate
that women are totally incapable of doing anything. Look at Kate. She pulled out something and messed it up, and Stefano had to...
Stefano had to save her. Yeah.
Step in and clean up the mess. Not tonight. Not enjoying the two of them because they are so
yeah.
much fun together. But this is ridiculous. We're back to women are helpless, completely helpless without a man.
Well, I would have been happy with Anna being a mastermind, period. I don't know why
yeah,
she's
it. It could have been. Yeah, she could have
been. Yeah, why not let
her
be
the
man?
There's no reason. I'm
I
just
think
sorry.
Anna, yeah, I
are they making her crazy?
Yeah,
you know,
I
think her like a little off her rocker there. See how it sounds
I
like
have no problem
with
it with being.
It.
I have no problem with it being EJ. I like having him get his balls back, but
yeah.
I don't. This is not surprising in the least to me.
You think
yeah,
still
really.
Other than them
really
going
isn't.
Out of their way to try and make it look like it wasn't, it's not a surprise for Damara to be behind this.
Yeah. I still think she left it with
don't.
Anna. But I think Anna had a...
Anna would have been the big surprise. And she
yeah.
was. When,
yeah.
You know? And,
yeah,
and
I
if it had been Lexi,
be
if it had been Lexi, people would be shocked.
That would have been, that would have given Renee Jones something to do.
Oh, and she
would
have been
great.
Fantastic. And she has
yeah,
reasons to want to, and she at least has reasons to want to piss off Sammy.
yeah,
true. Sammy tried to pull the same thing on her. This would have been great. But,
yeah.
You know, although.
Well, maybe there's another
don't
twist
like
to it yet.
The day.
Oh,
we're only on number four. Diva, it's your turn because I don't have
all one. Right. Okay. Mine was actually the introduction of E.J. Wells, E.J. Damara.
Oh, with the towel.
yeah, but I mean, obviously we all knew that it was E.J. Damara from day one. As soon as they said, you know, like mysterious Brit or something, I think we all figured out who it was, just from the casting of James Kelly, we all, you know. That,
yeah.
But I thought, I think Beth Milstein was writing his intro, and I thought she just did excellent. I think she was the best EJ writer that we've had so far.
She was. She was, cute. Yeah, that was when he was fun. He was fun to watch all the time.
Yeah, he was fun. He was charming. And I'm like, wow, I could really see him with Sammy. This looks like a great match. And so I never really was into Lumi. But then Shepard came in and ruined him with the whole rape thing. I mean, that just completely came out of the blue. I mean, it would have been nice if you would have had a real Romeo Juliet whole star-crossed lovers thing. It would have been. She made EJ not so bad, and had him and Sammy truly fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was like causing the chat rooms wrote EJ in a towel with exclamation points.
First thing I thought of when you said EJ appearing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess from May till November, I really liked EJ.
Yeah.
Whatever year that was that 2005,
the worst
maybe?
Thing, yeah. The worst thing they did with EJ and Sammy is when they had EJ rape Sammy. That was the
yeah, that was,
that was the worst thing.
The beginning
yeah,
of the
that,
end.
That's
for them,
the worst thing.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
they'll never really bounce Stupid. Back from that. And I think they have such great chemistry, but it seems like
yeah.
it's. I think that's why so much it's Sammy and Rafe now, and why they're going to stick with that, is they don't want to deal with all the controversy of having Sammy and EJ together after what's already, you know, transpired with those characters. And, you know, they wrote themselves into a corner. It's a shame because, you know, now they're going to always, it's going to be like Stefano and Marlena, I think. They're always going to be kind of in each other's orbits, but you're never going to really see anything happen, you know, beyond what we've seen.
I think that's probably where they're heading too, except there's one difference. Stefano and Marlena never had children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tried to make
given,
her think.
They've given EJ and Sammy two kids, and I think that makes it.
Yeah,
I'm not so convinced that they're going to turn EJ into Stefano number two. I think they'll have a harder time to do it. He's younger. He's he's still leading man material.
More
I
attractive.
Yeah. You know. They can,
yeah,
I
think he'll be with other women. I mean, I think, you know, we're going to see EJ and Ariana probably have something going on. But I
yeah.
think EJ's still going to be a romantic leading man, just not with Sammy. I don't think they're ever going to make that work. And I wish they would because I like them. But
well, I think the chances of it are probably very slim. But James Scott keeps telling the EJ and Sammy fan base that it's coming. So I don't
know.
We'll see, I guess. I'm not so sure it's coming, but
and
I don't think he's just leading them on.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't tended to do that in the past. You know, when he was when EJ was with Nicole, he was pretty upfront about what, you know, EJ was doing. Even if they didn't like it, he said so. So if he's saying that they're telling him that the producers are telling him that something is coming, you know, I kind of think it might be. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. The direction they seem to be going is that he'll become this manipulative kind of Stefano in her orbit. And them keeping Rafe instead of Lucas makes me think that's the direction they're going to go too. They obviously found themselves somebody who is going to, because Lucas did so many awful things with Sammy too. So the difference between him and EJ wasn't all that big. And you know, he tried to kill her, or he kept quiet when his mother had her framed for murder. How much different is that than raping her? You know, they kept
rape
because they wanted
stigma and soaps and murder. I don't. It just seems like it always is.
Yeah. But I think they want a definite difference between the two men in her life. The black, the white knight on one side and the black knight on the other. They're writing this for 12-year-olds. That just makes me want to gag.
Well, yeah, they're doing that with Melanie, though, too, with the whole Philip and Nathan thing.
They are.
The bad guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's still kind of just not working because Melanie just isn't a believable fiancé. She's just too young.
Not for Philip, no.
Yeah.
I like them together, but you're right. It's not believable at seeing her. She's like a good kid. The idea of him being in a big hurry to run off to Las Vegas and marry her is just like, why?
Yeah, that was way too fast. Yeah.
And I did get the impression of when he came after he proposed to her and then he comes home, it was almost like he did it to see what his family would... If he could get a rise out of Victor and Kate.
I think he did it, but I know a lot of people have done this in real life. Their own family life is so dysfunctional and they decided to start their own family, you know, with a spouse. I know a lot of people who have done that. It's kind of like an escape. She's an escape for him. Not really a wife. So, Fancy Face, what's your number three?
Number three is the return of Steve and Kayla. For me, that was a big deal. I was looking for them to come back for many years. I just wish they hadn't come back when Riley was still writing because I wasn't thrilled with the way... I was so happy to see, like, Steve and Jack in scenes together when they were first, when Steve just came back, but then to have Jack interrupt the wedding with Jennifer and Frankie, and he's back from the dead for the millionth time, and then Steve having amnesia. I didn't like the way they had handled it, but it was kind of like the same thing as what we're talking about with the news of the return of the people killed off in the serial killer storyline.
Yeah,
was more exciting than the actual
deal.
Happening. It's like the news of Steve and Kayla coming back really excited me, and then once it happened, it just was flubbed up, you know, a whole lot. But I guess the event was a big deal for me.
The event for me would have been when she turned around in the cemetery and saw him.
Mm-hmm.
That one moment, that was almost good enough to make up for the rest. Not quite, but almost.
And Queen of the Night, what you have for number three?
Number three, I have Zach's death.
Oh.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of shocking. Although I didn't agree with it, it was very upsetting. But again, good, you know, a lot of great acting with Peter and Christian. So, yeah, that was my number three.
Okay, yeah. I have a number three this time.
Actually,
I almost picked that, except that. Because the acting for the day that Zach died was fabulous, but the rest of it was so terrible that I just couldn't handle it. My number three would be Anna and Tony's reuniting on the island, which wasn't fabulous, but the fact that I ever got to see it, I just never, ever thought it would happen. So that's mine.
Yeah. Well, that was my number two.
that's my number two.
Well, Tony coming back and them seeing each other on the island. Yeah. That's my number two.
Well, the whole episode.
The whole thing.
The two episodes by themselves, they were, except for Tony asking about Sammy instead of Carrie, everything else was almost perfect. It was really good.
Led to the advertising agency and all that, and the hospital storyline and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My number three was Steve's return with Jack, same as Fancy Face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the stuff with Steve Nichols and Matthew Ashford have absolutely amazing chemistry. They are just perfect brothers. And I thought that was great. And I liked the build up to Steve's reunion with Kayla when she saw him. And I thought that was all wonderful. And then when they didn't get married again, considering that he'd been dead for quite some time, to me that was a tip off that they were pretty much done with Steve and Kayla. They really should have had another wedding.
Yeah,
they should. Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't get a wedding, but
Bo got third or fourth wedding. I mean, I'd understood why Tony and Anna didn't get a wedding. I didn't like it, but I understood it. I didn't understand why Kayla and Steve didn't get a wedding.
That would have
made ratings go up.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. That's what I understand about the writers. Weddings, no matter really who it is, the ratings always go up. Except for Bo and Hope's last wedding, the ratings actually went down quite a bit. But they usually go up, so why not do it? And it doesn't cost that much money. You know, I mean, you already have the church. You know,
I think Bo and Hope's last wedding probably cost something.
They
rented that horse and carriage and did it outdoors. And of course, that was when Scott was still producing things, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least it looked nice and everything. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the wedding except for it was the wrong couple.
They could have
given that wedding seriously to Tony and Anna or Steve and Kayla, and everybody would have been happy. I think everybody would have been happier with that.
It's just a small wedding. Yeah, just something.
Yeah.
Everything was off screen. Yeah, it was like just something.
That
would have
been.
They could do weddings away from Sammy and give them to the couples in here.
I think Sammy, I guess they gave them the baby instead.
So
we could have did a top five Sammy weddings. We could have done our favorite Sammy wedding.
Not that many, huh?
Well, didn't they count she had like 9 wedding dresses or something like that when she married Lucas? And then she turned around and married EJ immediately afterwards, right? That was the black dress wedding.
Yeah,
the black dress.
Yeah, so she had 2 weddings in 1 year, that year, the green wedding and the black wedding. Okay, what number are we on? I don't even remember. Oh, I did.
Well, I did by 2 already, so.
Yeah, okay, we're on.
Three.
Yeah, we're on Fancy Faces, too.
Did you do your number 3, Diva?
Yes, mine was Steve and Jack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
we're number
2.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my number 2, and of course I'm a big fan of this couple, was the return of Jack and Jennifer. For me, that was a big deal, and I thought, you know, some people were flip flop. It had a rocky start because you know Jennifer came before Jack, and she had that some strange, bizarre crush on that Colin Murphy guy, and I didn't like the way Jack was treated, but it was like Tony and Anna. I never dreamed that they'd be back in the show again. I just thought too much water had gone under the bridge, and I was so thrilled when they were back. And there were a lot of good comic moments that, you know, it wasn't the heyday of the early 90s or anything, but, you know, it was good to at least get a taste of what I used to love about them, just like with Tony and Anna, and to have that back for a while was great. And I was watching the show every day, and, you know, even though I'd fast forward through, you know, Greta and Austin or whatever, it's like I was always watching Jack and Jennifer, and I was thrilled that they were back.
I have to say, that's probably a couple, even more than Tony and Anna, I never thought would be back after what happened with Melissa Reeves.
Yeah.
Just thought that
was Reeves.
Never, ever going to happen. So
I have to repeat. Yeah, I have to repeat what something Cause said in the chat room. She wrote, maybe the wedding isn't so expensive as to clean up after Sean D. crosses through the church.
Oh, yeah, Philip and...
They said, the Fell wedding.
Oh, yeah,
that was Fell. Yeah.
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 Oh, that was great.
How
could we forget
that
last
anyway.
Laugh? That was the beginning of the decade, right?
About
2005
or
Ghoul Girl?
Oh, yeah, Ghoul Girl.
Something like that. Ghoul Girl and the Blast Blast.
That was 2005.
Yeah.
Worst year ever. That has got to be the worst. I don't know. This last year has come real close, but 2005 was.
Well, no, 2005 for me still is like the suckiest year because you could tell Riley. You know, he was forced to bring those actors back, and he was forced to, you know, stop being so insane with that killer storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The war.
That's when
and
he started
Stan
writing.
And
he started writing out of his ass. I mean,
that was bad.
And it wasn't just that he brought everybody back and he had to put up with that and then wrote them all crappy, but then Wayne Northrop came back and he ruined that, too.
Oh,
I mean, it was like he ruined every possible thing that he could from the 80s.
We gave him all the chess pieces and he was playing checkers instead. I mean, you have all these great actors and all these great potential couples and storylines, and he just said, hey, I'm going to break up all the couples, those lame interlopers.
I put in an episode from 2005, and just listening to the dialogue is like nails on a chalkboard. It's terrible. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have to say the dialogue this year has much improved. The show's actually funny now.
Oh,
you know,
they have great dialogue writers, yeah.
Oh,
well, we have
really,
great dialogue writers,
really,
but we also have John Aniston and Louise Sorrell, who also know what to do with it. I mean, you could give Galen Gehring... The same dialogue, and it won't sound the same. I'm sorry to be
expression
bashing,
and monotone.
But my God.
They should put him and me in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Riley had good actors at the time, and that he didn't like or appreciate any of them. He fired Aniston, and
obvious that he was pissed off and that he was mad and didn't care, and it showed.
Yes,
and
he
was out for anybody in particular, as much as it seemed like he just didn't care about the show anymore. And
I think he was trying to kill the show. He was mad at NBC or whoever for forcing his hand, and he was going out of his way to write it just as horribly as he could. I don't think he had any great vision at that time. It's like it's like, how dare you tell me what to do? And he had. You know, I don't want to speak badly of the dead, but he had a real ego on him, and it got in the way of his writing. He was very unprofessional during that whole year, and that's why people who say they love Riley, I'm just like, forget it.
He got paid for the 3 years after he got fired, for heaven's sakes. It's not like he was.
Yeah.
It's not like he got fired and he was out of a job or something. Heck, they're still paying his. They've been paying his estate since he died. So it's ridiculous.
Well, there were rumors that he was going to come back, and that was like a little bit before he passed away. Thank God he didn't. I was like, oh no, please.
Well,
no,
we got Gary Conlon, and I believe him.
Nelson Branco was the one who brought up the Riley return rumor, and that was wishful thinking on his part. He completely made that shut up.
Yeah,
that was he
makes
made
a lot
that
of
up. He made it up. He wanted it to happen. He does
that
all the time.
That guy is smoking stuff that I would love to get my hands on because, man, it must be great.
We are the only blog and blog talk radio that actually says Riley sucked as a writer. Because all the other ones, all the other bloggers, all the other hosts, they all kiss his ass. Even in
they all loved him.
Yeah, they all didn't. Oh my gosh!
But they all liked him. They all started watching when he was writing. And that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. If they think that's great writing, that's their opinion. I don't.
I understand how you could watch. Yeah.
a lot of people, I think, that really like Riley, they're remembering the 90s. They're remembering the Possession storyline, Aramid.
I did like Aramid.
That, you know, and Buried Alive and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm wondering if any of these people they're praising Riley ever watched in 2005. It's like, how could you seriously have wanted this man to write again if you had to suffer through 2005? I just, you know, I think they didn't watch during those years or something. I don't know.
Well, there are people who love the 80s who think that he did a good job in the 90s, but think he did a lousy job when he came back. I happen to think he didn't do that great of a job in the 90s either. And I like Aramid. I think it's a brilliant idea. I don't think I don't think the way it came out on screen was nearly as good as the conception of what it was supposed to be, because there was an awful lot of crap in it that could have gotten cut out. You know, it just got silly. But he was a plot writer. He wrote characters if it didn't get in his way. And I just never liked writers like that. I'm not interested. I think, to me, it's cheating. That's the kind of cheating, because you can make the plot do anything. You could just take the characters and whip them around like they're little puppets on the screen. That's what anybody can do that. My 10-year-old in school can do that on a story. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, actually, he just whipped out his dolls, not his marionettes.
You know, taking characters and sticking to their history and who they are and making a story with that and make it work, that's hard. And they used to do it all the time. You know, that's why shows from the 80s are so good, and before, in the 70s. Because they knew how to do that. So, I'm sorry, I just have no respect for somebody who can't. You know, if he can come up with these fabulous storylines that they all think were so fabulous, like Possession. It stuck to the characters, all of them.
It would have been
great, but he didn't. And I can't watch 10 minutes of Possession without rolling my eyes.
Yeah, all those characters got stuck, and the actors got stuck with all that baggage. All that baggage Tony had, and Marlena, and John. I mean, it was ridiculous. With Marlena, I mean, that's the first thing that comes across. First thing you think of is either Possession or Stalker. That's the only thing you think of. I mean, you don't think strong, intelligent doctor.
No, you don't remember. You don't remember anything from the early 80s. I was complaining.
And that's when
she was so
great. I loved the character in the early 80s.
Yeah,
I was complaining about how they describe Sammy and Rafe as the new Marlena and Roman, and I was saying that it's insulting. I'm sorry, that is insulting.
Sammy
are no way like Marlena and Roman were. They were equals. Those two were equals. Well, Roman didn't save her because she couldn't save herself. They did it together. It's not the same kind of relationship that Sammy has with Rafe. Those two are not equals. It's just silly. Anyway, we sort of got off.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have talked about Riley. But, Queen of the Night, I think you're next on number two, aren't you?
Well, my number two is the with Tony coming back in 07 and him and Anna meeting on the island. That was my number two.
Okay.
My number two.
All right. We discussed that already.
Which Madeline talked about. I mean, Saddle Shoes talked about that on number three.
Yeah, Saddle Shoes, what was your number two?
My number two is one that we've already discussed, and it's really just the moment that it happened, not the whole storyline, since it didn't end up going very far, was Andre showing up at the Penthouse Grill in 02. That was, I wasn't expecting it, and it was such a surprise, and it was great. The look on John's face, that's one I'll never forget. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that was priceless.
Yeah.
My number two, I actually picked something different from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Welch returning.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Oh,
yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
You ruined my number one.
I'm so sorry.
That was the actual whole story.
It was the whole story.
Yeah, the whole story was fabulous from beginning to end.
Yeah, I wasn't following the show online, so it's nice to be unspoiled, I have to say. And it just shocked the hell out of me. I remember the 80s. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Larry Welch. And he pretty much looks the same except for a little grayer. But, I mean, he kept his look. He looked the same. And it was a great way to deal with Christian Alfonso's pregnancy. And my favorite part was the fake death of Lexi. I thought that was fantastic. They were trying to catch Larry by saying, oh, well, it's over now. Lexi was the one who was a kidnapper and Bill killed her. I wasn't being spoiled on that. I'm like, oh, my God, Bill just killed somebody. And Celeste was mad and everything was going on. In the next episode, you know, there's Lexi in Abe's office. I'm like, what the heck just happened? I'm like, that was amazing.
It's nice
that
to
was
be surprised
really good.
Sometimes, though. It is.
Yes. That was great.
Nice.
But, yeah.
And
well, Larry, I'm sorry.
I wished they had kept Larry around longer. I was upset when he died because he was a good villain. I mean, when we saw Larry in the 80s, he was the obstacle for Beau and Hope, and he was kind of smarmy, and he was doing bad things, like, well, he poisoned Gwen, I remember one point, and so he was definitely capable of doing bad things, but I mean, this time he was just an out-and-out evil guy, you know, but he was so funny. It's like, I like funny evil guys, and I thought he did a great job with the return. I should have put it on my list. I didn't think of it.
Okay, we're up to number one. So.
Okay. Well, number one for me is probably what everyone... Well, I'm just including the whole DeMiro returns of 2007, and that's including Tony and Anna and Stefano. I never thought I'd see... It's just like Jack and Jerry. I never thought I'd see them all back, especially on screen at the same time. I never thought I would see Tony revealed to really be Tony and Andre. I never thought the Tony-Andre thing would happen. And you know, definitely it spiraled out of control. It became more about Colleen and Santos DeMira than about the real DeMiras. But it started out great, and I was so excited. It was the first, I think probably one of the only times in the decade where I was really, you know, feeling that whole 80s thing of, oh, I couldn't wait to see the show every day because it was just so exciting, you know. And for a while, they had all the power couples doing things, you know. I mean, yeah, they were reading letters and stuff. But you had Beau and Hope, you know, going down in the basement and looking for clues. And you had Steve on the case and working with Hope. And Kale was involved. Everyone was involved, John and Marlena and all. And it was a real taste of, for a while, of, you know, of kind of 80s days come back. And I loved it until it all spiraled to hell. But, but
it had
the
potential storyline.
One.
Of the DeMira Wars, you know, with John and EJ and, you know, versus that.
Started
that, and that was completely dropped. That would have been so good. I was disappointed that they didn't go on with that.
So what was your number one, Queen of the Night?
Oh, my number one was Tony's return to the Penthouse Grill, you know, but it was Andre. Well, that was back in the time, like, I wasn't expecting it. I was watching spoilers or anything. And when he walked in, I was expecting Stefano. And when he walked in and Pan, it was, you know, that was a complete surprise for me. And I thought that was my number one.
And Saddle Shoes, your number one.
Okay, well, my number one was Larry kidnapping Hope, but the whole storyline up until she came home. I thought from beginning to end, That was the closest thing to an umbrella storyline I've seen them do successfully for the whole decade, from beginning to end, and shock me. from, you know, and because I wasn't expecting it to be Larry, and I sure as heck wasn't expecting Bo to kill anybody, and or to, for them to really make it believable, which they did. They had me totally fooled.
Yeah, it wasn't like the crazy
that Lexi died, and they pulled everybody in, and they used everybody. And of course, they even brought Shane back, which was the part of it I loved. They brought Shane Donovan back, so I was in heaven, and we even got that little bit where John and Marlena and Tony end up off on the at the compound and brought some of that in too. It was amazing. They just pulled everything in to it, and the reason I picked it instead of the Demira return was because it was from beginning to end. I loved the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was terrific. I like the Demira's coming back and that dinner. The Demira dinner was fabulous. But and if they'd stuck to what I hear Hogan wanted to do, which was make Pop Sean Senior kill Santo, that would have made that storyline so much better.
Yeah.
That's
what I was driving at. Yeah. Is that what they call it? I can't remember the name. The Irish name for it. It was a lolly or something like that. Or what was the name of that truck?
It's a lolly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lorry. It's a lorry.
Lorry.
Lorry, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. So they were kind of insinuating something happened with the lorry and. And remember, Sean Senior got mad, and he didn't want, you know, he saw one, and you know, yeah, that
well,
was
one. Well, one of the guys who was one of the dialogue writers with Hogan was on some talk radio show,
mm-hmm.
and he said that the original ending was that Sean Senior gave the toy. I don't know if he gave it to Santo or he gave it to Stefano and Stefano gave it to Santo, but it was supposed to kill him. His father had given it to him and told him to give it to Santo, and that's how Santo died.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make sense. That would make the whole vendetta make sense. The way they
Cause mentioned the writer's name. It was Tom Casello.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he, according to him, I thought he said that NBC made them change it because there were so many posts on NBC, on the NBC board going on about how they loved Colleen and Santo, and so they wanted to drag it out a little longer. I don't see why that meant they had to change the ending.
Yeah, I mean, the NBC board... Seriously, it's lame. It is.
That's being kind, to say the least.
It's dead. It's boring. You know. I mean, the Sony board has thousands of people, so why wouldn't you follow the Sony board? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Because they're smart, and you'd have to work at it. Sorry, but I know that's snobbish. I don't care.
Apparently Sony doesn't read their own board because they fired... five most popular actors. I mean, they would have just looked at the board. They wouldn't have picked those five to fire. But, so I guess those boards are kind of useless. Yeah.
All that time we sat around and we were hoping that things would happen, and they have. Things did happen that I never thought would.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's true.
I don't think it's useless.
Yeah.
No, it worked.
It's just fun.
It worked in the past.
They
do read the boards.
Anna's
back.
Oh,
yeah.
Leanne's back.
Yeah,
back.
Leanne,
I know.
Yeah. Oh, God, that came out of the blue. That was like,
yeah.
Wow.
At least they didn't. I'm glad they brought her back, if only because otherwise Tony's death was totally... what's the point? Other than to make Gary Tomlin look like even more of an SOB than he already looks.
Mm-hmm.
And he still kind of looks like SOB to me, but at least it's coming. It's, you know, so I noticed somebody on their year-end list named Tony as collateral damage for the the baby switch, which is true. It's totally
yeah.
true. Yeah. What's the point? Even bringing Anna back doesn't make his death necessary.
Right.
You know, they could have faked it or something had gone off, and then they both could have kidnapped the kid. I mean, if they're going to use EJ this way, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't given up hope. I still think he might
I haven't
be
given up
somewhere.
Hope either. Yeah, he's around somewhere.
No,
he's not dead.
I haven't.
No.
I haven't. I'm just disappointed because I kept hearing that this was a twist that nobody was going to guess. Absolutely nobody
yeah.
was going to guess.
Maybe there's still
no.
One,
is making
no.
it EJ make it unguessable?
Well, James Scott said that. He was the one that said there was an extra twist and it was involving his character, so maybe he was just all excited because it was his character.
Well, I think he meant Anna when he mentioned that nobody
Anna.
Was going to guess. But that's the only thing I can
of her being involved, yeah.
Because I've been to enough boards, most everybody was guessing that Demira would be involved and that was either going to be Stefano or EJ. And most of the people I saw guessed EJ. He's the one who has everything to. He's the one who's been lied to and used, and he, you know, he's
mm-hmm.
the most obvious suspect.
Yeah.
Me.
Well, with that, and Kaylin Gehring dropped the bomb and said that Race notices that Anna and EJ are acting suspicious. Now, I mean, come on. I mean, connect the dots. I mean, he's the one who basically he leaked the spoiler. He's, you know, why would he even say that?
The way I read the way I'm reading the spoilers, though, this is somebody who's seen pictures of them together, who has a source who says it's them. It still doesn't say to me it's absolutely him.
Now, there was someone allegedly on the set that said it was, you know, that it was EJ and Anna. But still, like I said, Kaylin Gehring, I mean, I just think he completely blew that whole storyline up.
There's people I trust, and then there's people who say they know stuff, and I just go, okay, whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, my number one was already mentioned 10 million times, but it was Tony's surprise entrance into the Penthouse Grill. Because he had been dead for 7 years, so that's always a huge surprise. And they were, all the other characters were saying it's going to be Stefano. But for me, I do specifically remember seeing the commercials that it was Tony. And that's actually the reason why I watched, because I wasn't watching the show.
Oh, I missed out then, yeah.
I wasn't watching the show either, and somebody told me, you want to watch. And they didn't tell me why,
because
they knew I'd quit. They knew I didn't watch anymore. I'd tune in once in a while. I think I tuned in when John had subsex. And then I tuned in once more when Hope and Stefano were locked in the tower together, and that was about it. I didn't watch really, and then someone told me, "Oh, you gotta watch on this day," and I'm going, "Oh," so I was shocked.
Yeah, we have 11 minutes to go, so I would really like to get this in here.
Oh,
I know. I know. We talked that much.
Yeah.
Who would have thought we would have? Yeah. What would you like to see as far as improvements go for 2010? Go ahead, Fancy Face. Do you have any improvements you'd like to see or suggestions? Or?
Well, you know, I bring back the fired vets. No,
bring Tony back.
Yeah, bring, they're not going to bring Stephen Nichols back because he has definitely found, you know, greener pastures now, you know, so Stephen Kayla you can write off. And so I guess you'd say Marlena and John and Anna's back on, so maybe Tony. But I just wish that they would stick to their core history they're getting a little better, I think, with veering away from too much teeny bopper storylines. I mean, I do enjoy, you know, watching the whole Vivian and Carly and Beau and I know it's sort of controversial and stuff, but at least these are characters that have had a history on the show and they are not, you know, 15-year-olds or 17-year-olds. And I would love, I think it would be a great bonus to the show if they would have some storylines that didn't involve babies. It's like, yeah, I'm babied out. No more baby switches. No more of that crap. You know, let's just go back to basics a little bit and not get so convoluted. And those are my suggestions.
I'm hoping with the Boke storyline, no babies. No Carly being pregnant. No Hope being pregnant. No, even if they don't have a baby, like, you know, their miscarriage, I don't even want a pregnancy involved in those two. But
yeah,
you know what Hope is? Hope always is mysteriously pregnant by Bo, even though they haven't had sex in like 5 years. They did that with Zach, and they did that with Sierra. They didn't have sex at all, and somehow Bo's the father both times. I don't want to see that for a third time. They've had enough kids. Let's move on. They're all in their 40s now, or at least the women are. You know,
start acting like it, maybe.
Yes, you know, or at least use some birth control this time with Carly and Hope. But,
my hope is that besides what Fancy Face suggested about using history, is that we start writing some female characters that aren't doormats for every man in town. That would be nice. And Sammy could get her mojo back, because this is just pitiful to watch her. I don't like her. I want to fast forward through her at the first. And that hopefully, since we hear that Mickey's going to die, that Maggie, whatever happens to her after that, she pulls herself out of it instead of having Guy help her pull her out of it.
Well, do you see a man on her horizon, though? Who would you want with Maggie? I mean, I can't even think of anybody right now.
If they wanted to bring a new guy in and write an adult romance, I just don't trust them to write one. That's all. I mean, if they wanted to, that'd be great. If I thought they were actually
Victor and Maggie. No.
Yeah, I've heard. I've seen fan fiction with that before.
Yeah,
Don't know.
Don't Craig have him back from what? Going to get the mail or the newspaper, wherever it was he disappeared. Didn't he disappear from getting the mail?
Yeah.
Don Craig, yeah.
Yeah.
Don Craig.
He just walked back into town with some mail saying, hey, I'm back.
Well, there's several of those.
There you go.
Don Craig, Neil. Neil Curtis.
Neil.
Didn't he go somewhere in the hospital and never come back or something?
Yeah.
I thought the oldest Horton son went upstairs and never came back down, too. Tommy, right?
Yeah. Brody, oh, yeah, and Cassie took a nap, never came down.
Yeah. Well, I always thought Cassie left with Rex.
Oh, maybe eventually, but I think when she came back from the island, she was like, I'm tired and taking a nap, and she went upstairs to the pub, but she never came back down, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, she might have left with Rex. That was the last time she was on screen. She was at the pub, I believe.
As bad as the teen scene was in 03, I'd rather have Cassie and Belle going at it again.
And they're still Demers, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they're still Demers.
Especially Cassie.
Cassie would make the kind of Brady that Sammy used to be.
Mm-hmm.
She'd destroy that
Cassie.
Family.
But it never made sense to me why she was killed off and put on that island, because that was just another, I don't want to get back into my Riley spiel again, but it made no sense why she was picked off to be killed. Anyway.
I think she wanted to be out. I think she didn't want to stay on the show anymore.
Yeah, she was
anyway.
Like her career Alexis Thorpe. Yeah, she was getting offers to do some, I don't know if it was Dark Shadows, that's coming to mind, but she got some sort of offer for some primetime stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wanted out.
She was on a House episode, but I hadn't seen her anything else. She might be on other things, but nothing I've heard of.
She was on Nip and Tuck. I think she did a movie with Matthew Ashford, too. Didn't she
do a
really movie?
Once she saw the direction they were taking the twins, too, I'm sure she figured, this is going to go to hell.
Queen of the Night, did you have any suggestions what they should do to improve in 2010?
I was agreeing with Saddle Shoes, you know, more heroines and also more romance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't seem to be doing that anymore. I mean, it's so quick, like even with Philip and Melanie, you know, and Chloe and Dan, you know, them. Well, they can leave. That's a suggestion. Just get rid of them. go somewhere, you know.
Yes, both of them.
Yeah,
get married and go off on a honeymoon and never come back.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the Maggie storyline goes. And another one that could have been there and should have been there for him would be Lucas. You know, glad to see him go. You know, he's been with the show for so long, Brian.
Yeah.
Wish they would have kept him around because, you know, Maggie was always there for Lucas. So, you know. And Lucas is involved with so many characters on the show, Kate and Philip and Sammy, you know, so.
Yeah, and that's going to be a real downer. You know, when Maggie has a big storyline, Lucas could have had a big part in that.
Yeah, they could have used him in so many ways. I just, you know, understand why.
Well, it sounds like they're going to use Sammy instead. Like, we don't get to see enough of her already.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mine actually, I recommend Days Do because it's already worked. No spoilers. Or you have very, very big ones. That means Cordae. No spoilers.
Or start rewriting them so they're not so obvious.
Yeah, and Cordae needs to shut the hell up when he's interviewing with Silver Digest. Because he's the one who said that Bill and Curly are going to have sex. Now, we didn't know that. And no, that wasn't out there anywhere. And he dropped that bomb, and she was just shut up.
You know? How great would it have been to see Anna come back and not know it ahead of time? I mean, see her on screen, come in, not show her from behind, not show a voice first, but just show her.
And they kept it for so long. I don't understand.
I mean, that was a good secret as far as they kept it, but they didn't keep it quite long enough.
Yeah, and even Mickey's death, they could have kept that a secret. We've heard that rumor since, November, that he was dying.
We've heard a rumor that somebody was going to die, and that was the. I have a beef with Mickey dying. As long as John Clark is alive, they should not be killing him off. I know it makes it hard on the set for them to do anything, but they've been doing it this long. Why not keep going? I assume that's why they didn't kill him off in the first place, because John Clark was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're doing it now, and it's. If they weren't going to do it when he left, then what's the point of doing it until John Clark actually dies, unless they...
Well, I am looking forward to seeing Suzanne Rogers getting a good storyline out of it. It's like now she's just being a sounding board for all the teens, but it sounds like this is going to be a front-burner storyline, and she's going to deliver, and it will be something interesting to watch, and it's a shame about John Clark, but I don't think he's ever going to come back. And so, I'm kind of the opinion of, hey, if they're good, they have her, and then she's one of the few, core characters left, use her. And, I'm happy they're thinking that way, in a way. So I'm kind of okay. I mean, it's sad, but I'm okay with it for me.
Yeah, it is sad, especially for Mickey and Maggie fans. But it's time. She can't keep saying, Mickey, you're working again. I mean, how many times do we need to hear that? It's, it's been off the show now for what? 6 years, something like that?
Six.
Yeah. 2003 was no Maggie was killed,
seven.
Right?
7 years.
They had Kevin Dotson back for a couple shows, and that was it. That was kind of strange.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't.
And
have
they never
problem.
Used
them
much.
No, they
I
never
have
used
them. More. Yeah.
Well, they brought. I think they brought Kevin Dotson in because they wanted a lawyer in town for EJ to work with.
Yeah.
And then they kind of just dropped him. Yeah.
Well, when Tom came in, everything changed.
That's when
Dobson disappeared. After that, so.
Yeah, I really don't have a problem with it. I think it's time to move on. And
it's going to give her a great story. Because we haven't seen him for so long.
It's
just fun because now it means he'll never come back. So.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, he can always come back as a guest. And while it stays, he can always come back, period, I guess. Mickey could have faked his own death. He was tired of being on the back burner, so he faked his own death.
Well, he's been dead before.
Yeah, he was dead back in 1983.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
And he came back. So.
Everybody comes back.
Stefano is around, so we can always use the same old. Same old cliche.
Well, guess what? We talked a whole hour, believe it or not.
And we didn't get through more than half of our list.
Well, yeah, but I actually had more suggestions. But we'll pick that up in 2 weeks then. So everybody think of more stuff. Maybe we should do a worst of the decade, too. Maybe we'll do that next time.
Well, yeah, that would be more. We could probably
take two shows because we'll all come up with at least 10 to 15 things.
Yeah.
That will not be difficult at all.
Yeah, well, thanks, everyone. We are done.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, that was
good.
Stay
warm.